look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, we've got game two of this three-game series coming up from Oracle Park. A beautiful day around the Bay Area. I know it's warm wherever you are if you're in the Bay Area. Time to talk a little ball with Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Good, good. Gorgeous day out here on the coast and just kind of chilling, waiting for the game, so all good.
Well, you know, first of all, Henry did a great game story. Anytime, someone said, you can work flappers, Herbert Hoover, and prohibition into a game story, you know, you got something special. But, you know, in 1952, the last time the A's overcame 5-plus in the ninth inning, Satchel Paige was pitching for the Browns.
I'll tell you,
Bruce, you can't write this baseball stuff. You can't write it any better.
No, I mean, last night was just a perfect example, aside from the historical footnotes, which are always interesting. And, of course, you know, Fred Merkel's boner came up, too, which you never
really?
want to. Andy Baggerly was all over that one, which is great. It was Wilmer's boner this time.
That means
mistake for all you people who, anyway. You have a guy grounded to first base, and all he has to do is touch the bag. You're up four. It's the second out, and he doesn't do it. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it was amazing. And even with all that, and it's been fun doing the show today. I was looking forward to talking to you about it because, you know, we watch so much ball, and it's 7-3. It's the A's. It's Piscotty. The A's have this tremendous history of being tough to the 27th out. And you just had that feeling something's going to happen. You just had that feeling of watching the game that this is not going well.
Yeah, I mean they always lend that impression, and you know the great thing about their lineup is it's just strong, you know, top to bottom, and once they get something going, you know, you can just feel that momentum shifting a little bit. Piscotty hits the slam. That's sort of the epitome of it. But you know, I just like the way they go about it. You know, they give you power from both sides. They're fundamentally strong, and they really believe right now. I mean, they believe to the point where, you know, Laureano charging the Houston dugout was a good thing. You know, it might turn out to be not so good, you know, in terms of the virus and everything else. But, I mean, that they sort of felt like, you know, they look at him. It was almost a heroic thing that he did there. Wasn't going to be talked down to by especially somebody from the Astros. And, you know, the whole team feeling around the A's is very, very good.
You know, Bruce, the park is playing smaller. Not only because of the portals, you've talked about that, and I know you did the column a couple of weeks ago, that the wind is different. But, boy, those bullpens where they are, they're home runs into those bullpens now.
Yeah, there was one last night that sailed in there that was that wouldn't have gone before. You know, it's a subtle difference, but, I like it. I really do. It's not like they they moved the fences 15 feet in and completely, you know, to where you don't even recognize it. I mean, you go into Oracle now, and you really, if you hadn't been there, you know, for a few years, you wouldn't say, gee, what happened? You know, it still has the same look, and of course, the portals are just a matter of opening them up. But I do like it playing livelier. I mean, we've talked about this. I feel the Giants have to establish themselves as a good hitting team that plays in a park that's fair for hitters, just in terms of getting players from other teams to want to come here. You can't rely on just, you know, well, we have great pitching and we got, you know, Kane and Lincecum and Bumgarner and that's all we need. You know, they're going to need to hit, and I think the more the park helps them, the more that there'll be a little bit of balance where you don't just say, well, you know, Bryce Harper is going to come in here and all these other guys and dominate us, where that doesn't necessarily happen.
No. Look, Longoria, first of all, they're a threat against left-handed pitching. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Longoria hit the ball hard. Pence hit the ball hard. Slater has done a nice job. He's in there tonight, even though he's DHing because of the elbow. But they're getting a little bit of identity. But I will say this, Bruce. It's look, you never know where a baseball season's going to go. They're 8-13. The West, thank God, Cincinnati's got a COVID issue. We still are okay in the West. But you just wonder, it's not development this year for the Giants. It's not development. It's playing platoons and really Gabe Kapler getting his feet on the ground and seeing kind of the end of the veterans, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, the veterans are kind of getting exposed a little bit. I mean, you know, Belt's hurting, so you got to bring that into play. But, you know, he's only had one game of any impact whatsoever. You know, Crawford's not hitting. Sandoval's really not hitting. You know, Pence and Longoria have definitely had their moments. But, you know, I think from a fan's standpoint, it's they can't see Joey Bart soon enough. They can't see Ramos soon enough.
Really?
You know, even Luciano and Bailey, you know, the kids coming up. They just can't wait to see this because there is a lot of hope. And I know it's, you know, with the service time stuff, it's going to be hard to take a look at everybody by the end of this season. But the more of those prospects get a look, for me, the better.
Yep. Cueto last night, Bruce, was, I thought, outstanding. He was outstanding against the Dodgers. And I thought he pitched just a masterful game last night.
Yeah, that's what you expect from him. I love that he came out for the seventh, because you never know these days. And he was allowed to finish the seventh, even though they nicked him up a little bit. He was terrific. You know, and now you hear talk, well, is he going to be traded? And he's really the only player on the team, really, that I think would have interest from other teams looking for a veteran to help them. His contract is big, but you know, if teams can afford him, they're going to look into that. And if that happens, I mean, he still has another year with the Giants. I'd love to see him play that out, because he's welcome in any, whether you're rebuilding or looking to win it or whatever situation you're in. I want him around.
Yep, a beautiful game for him. Now, tonight it's Gausman, and he's coming off the Sunday game of 99 miles an hour. And Kev, I think that's enough for you. We're going to bring in the bullpen, so we got that tonight.
Yeah, well, that was ridiculous. I mean, you know, the guy throws his fastest pitch of the night. He's totally cruising. He's been around. He's not a kid. There wasn't any sign, not the slightest hint, that he needed to come out of that game, and that was a shame. And, you know, I think the players, you know, it's hard to tell. We're not allowed in the clubhouse, and we can't read the room. We can't ask a question, and all we get is an eye roll, and that tells us something. You know, stuff like that. Like, players don't even have to comment. Where they let you know that they're not happy with something. But from what we can gather, I think the players like Gabe, and they want him to do well, and they're riding out some of the stuff that they may not agree with. And Gausman was extremely diplomatic after that game. So, you know, he just this would be a good night for him to get in that same situation again and see what happens.
Yeah, good one. Look, he throws the ball hard, high in the strike zone. The A's try to launch everything. And if he's got his command of the fastball and a good changeup, he'll be effective. And the guy on the other side, Minaya, Bill Lasky compared him a little bit to Samardzija, the way he's getting knocked around. So it is a lefty against the Giants. They had Lizardo last night, who I thought, for the young kid, it's an electric arm. But I thought he struggled a little bit last night. So getting two lefties helps the Giants.
Yeah, it was interesting that you know, the Giants were up 6-0 when Lizardo left the game. Who would have called that amongst all the weird things that happened? But now they have a struggling lefty, and as you say, I mean, with you know, Solano and Flores and Slater and all of Longoria, their right-hand hitting is pretty much established. It's definitely a night to get 6 or 7 runs, or at least get off to a good start. So that means Minaya will take a no-no into the seventh.
Really? Well, he's done it before, and he has pitched well against the Giants. So, who, you know, that's the beauty of this. And I will say this, and, you know, you and I have talked ball for so many years, and this year especially, every Saturday and Sunday now that the games are going on, the games are interesting. I find them interesting. I can't wait for the story.
No, they're totally interesting. It's the difference between the the East and the West is really radical. I mean, on the one hand, if you look at the Giants' schedule, you're thinking, can we get like one game with the Phillies or the Cubs or the Mets? It's just the same old, you know, routine all the way to the end of the season. But it's, things are very calm out here. I mean, the whole western half of the country is surviving the pandemic, and you know, obviously a lot of luck involved. But the East is completely chaotic. The Midwest and the East, you know, now the Reds have a potential issue, and so I mean, it's we're lucky to be playing these games without any extraneous circumstances where you wonder if the whole thing gets shut down tomorrow. And the games are great. I mean, last night was a great example.
Really?
I mean, as someone that appreciates both teams, I liked everything about it. I just thought it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, me too. Me too, to the very last pitch. Richie Allen, Dick Allen, the Phillies are going to retire his number. Usually they were only retiring Hall of Fame numbers. They're going to retire his number, which opens the door to Rich Rollins, Jimmy Rollins, and others. But
yeah.
Dick Allen, Hall of Famer, they say, Bruce, he's probably going to get in and finally get his recognition.
Well, I hope he does. I mean, he broke in 64 with Tony Oliva, Enrico Cardi, and Jim Ray Hart, and he was probably the best-looking rookie hitter of all those guys. He was Rookie of the Year. He had 13 triples. He had unbelievable power, and he, you know, he was just he was a frightening hitter with the Phillies. And it's really a shame because he came up through the minor league system with the Phillies as the rare sort of black guy on the scene. It absorbed a ton of racism and hate mail and obscenity shouted at him, and he came into the big leagues pretty angry, and he had a kind of a tempestuous relationship, increasingly so, with the Phillies. He had a fight with Frank Thomas, and they released Thomas, and the fans were upset because they wanted Allen to go because, you know, because he was black. And the next thing you know, he's basically an alcoholic. You know, admittedly, he drinking to, you know, to kind of make his problems go away, and became really unreliable. He wasn't hustling, and he missed a game to attend a horse race, and he finally was quoted as saying, "I can play anywhere. First, third, left field, anywhere but Philadelphia." You know, he's writing at first base. He's writing "boo" in the dirt.
I remember that.
And October 2nd, as in that's when the season's over and I can get out of here. And sure enough, they did dispatch him out of there, and he went to L.A. and St. Louis and did well. Then he went to Chicago and just resurfaced as the guy everyone remembered. I mean, his presence at home plate never went away. Even when the Phillies collapsed in 64, he had a great last month. I mean, he's always a guy that was totally respected, and he just dominated the American League with the White Sox. So I'm all for it. I think you had to watch him and feel what it was like to watch him hit, to watch some of his balls just absolutely scorched. I mean, beyond belief, some of the long home runs he hit. I mean, I think Willie Stargell said, when he hits a home run, there's no souvenir. they go too far, you know. He swung a 44-ounce bat, which is about as big as anyone ever used. So he's a legendary guy is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And, of course, he winds up with the A's.
Right.
This is a guy who graduated in 1960 from Wampum High School in PA, Pennsylvania. And it was a Charlie Finley team, and Finley let Dick Allen wear 60 on his back and Wampum as the name. I remember being in Fenway Park. I was just starting to cover some ball in 1977, and I saw Dick Allen show up in that uniform. I thought, man, the legend continues.
Well, and plus, he hit during the 60s, and you and I have talked about the 60s, the greatest 10 years of National League pitching ever.
Yeah, and you could argue the greatest of National League hitting too. I mean, it was that great. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you're talking about Koufax and Drysdale and Marischal, and it's just on and on. You know, Warren Spahn. Geez, you could talk all day about the great pitchers of those days.
Well, I hope he gets recognition, Hall of Famer. They're talking Hall of Fame, and I think he deserves it. I think he's
right
that good.
Yeah, I think it would be great. He was he went through a lot. That's stuff that really only, you know, a black man in the 60s can really relate to, or black men in any era. But
yeah,
to know what it was like then, it's very hard for people like us to really imagine what guys went through, and he did survive it in a big way. So I hope he gets in also.
Good analysis. Hey, you got your names. The Giants' names are coming on the jersey now. Larry Bear claims he had this idea all along. I don't believe him. I think you got it.
Well, I'm taking the credit, Marty. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't know how that. I kind of doubt it, but I mean, Larry claims that it's been talked about for a couple of years. He really kind of unanimous in the front office. Nobody wants to keep the names off the uniforms any longer. And so, you know, we'll go with what Larry says. But you know, privately, I'm taking all the credit.
Absolutely. You got the. The ballpark is a small ballpark now. You got the windows closed. You got balls going all over the place, and you got names on the jersey. What's next? A statue?
Yeah, a statue with a guy writing illegibly in a notebook.
That'll be you. You deserve it. You know that. A birthday today, I just wanted to acknowledge Joey J. And whenever you say Joey J, you say the first little leaguer ever to make it to the major leagues.
Yeah, it's funny. You're thinking, what the hell? But I mean, you know, the Little League, there was no Little League World Series until 1947. It started in 1939, but, you know, the war comes and you got dads in the military, and Little League was not really a viable option for a lot of kids. And I think Little League came to Joey J's hometown in Middletown, Connecticut in 1947. And that was the year the Little League World Series started, and it was televised for the first time in, I think, 1953. So it wasn't something that a lot of guys did, but he did have the distinction of being the first Little League World Series graduate. Now you can trace just about anybody back to Little League. But, yeah, Joey J., the last Reds pitcher to win 20 games 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and probably at 12 years old he had a beard. Probably.
5 o'clock, he wondered, geez, this guy hasn't shaved in 5 days.
Yeah really. Very good. Hey, we'll talk tomorrow. It's the they're celebrating the 100th year of Negro League Baseball. And baseball is finally, we could chat about this tomorrow. John Thorne wrote something about it last week, of using all the statistics of Negro League Baseball as major league statistics and saying,
wow.
Hey, so there's a whole movement to make everybody who ever played Negro League Baseball have a spot in the record book of Major League Baseball. That's coming. So we have the 100th anniversary, which has been delayed because of COVID and all that, but that's coming up tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Bruce. Have a great night.
Okay, Marty. Thanks a million.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up. Kerry Crowley is next. We get ready for the Giants pregame. Maybe Kerry will hang with us for a little bit of that as well. All right. More coming up on the Sports Leader.